We've been talking about being led by the Spirit. We must learn to be led by the Spirit. Here's what the Bible says. We've read this for several weeks. It says in Romans 8:14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, we recognize this is a marvelous promise that says, if we're the sons and daughters of God, we can be led by the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's not an indictment against us if we're not led, but it's a promise to us. All right? We can be led. What does that mean? What does it mean to be led? You know, one time I was asking this guy to do something that I knew that the Lord was leading him to do. He knew it too. And I said, well, let's just do it. And he said, I don't feel led. So I got a bullet out of my drawer and I said, here's some lead. Now you can feel led. Well, that's not what that's talking about. Okay, what does it mean to be led? Remember when you were a kid and you played Follow the Leader? Anybody ever play Follow the Leader when they were a kid? I hated that game, unless I was the leader. Okay, I didn't want to follow anybody. I mean, it's like, you know what? We can play Follow the Leader, but you're the follower, I'm the leader. Because I didn't want anybody to be the leader, because if I didn't understand what we were doing, I didn't want to do that. If I didn't like where we were going or what we had to do, I didn't want to do that. If I was the leader, I liked the game Follow the Leader. It's hard sometimes to be led by someone else, isn't it? We want to be the leader. Now, the Holy Spirit wants us to follow His lead. He wants to lead us. Here's what we need to know about God and the Holy Spirit. He will never make us follow Him. He's not in the business of pushing us around. He's a gentleman. He will never push us. He will never force us to do anything. After all, He is God, and I'm not going to prove that in the Scripture today, but I can. He is God. God made us with a free will, and He will never violate our free will. That's what makes us different than the animals, makes us different than anyone else. We have the freedom of choice, and God will not make us do anything. So the Bible here says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, led. Now the Greek word for led here is the word ago, A-G-O, ago. It means to lead, but in the Greek language it depicts animals who are led by their masters with a rope tied around their neck. They were led. The animals were trained to follow the leading of the master as the master simply tugged on the rope. If an animal is trained right, you tug on the rope and they will follow. Okay? They would tug. They would respond. To resist the leading or the tugging would result in harshness and difficulty. Okay? So what we have to learn to do is respond to the tugging of the Spirit. The Bible does not say as many as are the sons of God are dragged around by the Spirit of God. He doesn't drag us, He tugs. Just a gentle tug. All right. When we resist Him, we will always find ourselves in difficult situations that could have been easily avoided had we just responded to Him. This doesn't mean that He's going to punish us or whip us or whatever happens. It just means we're going to wind up in the wrong place. Or we're going to miss out on the right place. He tugs. He doesn't force. He wants us to come to the place that our lives are totally surrendered to Him to the degree that whatever He says, wherever He leads, however He leads, we simply respond. Way easier for me to say that than to do it, right? That's interesting. The word ago is the root word for another Greek word called agon. A-G-O-N. If you add a Y to that, what English word do we get? Agony. Agony. Now that's interesting. Agony is an intense conflict, or this word agon. It's talking about a struggle such as a wrestling match or a struggle of the human will. As I said, As a child, I always wanted to be the leader. And it was a struggle for me to follow somebody else. I wanted to be in charge. I wanted to make the choice, and I didn't want, especially my sister, to ever tell me what to do. All right, that was not going to happen. All right, she'd say, let's play follow leader. I'm the leader. I said, well, you can play by yourself because I'm not playing that with you. It's often a struggle, isn't it? A conflict takes place sometimes when we're trying to be led by the Spirit because the Spirit, my spirit, the Bible says, is at war with my flesh. The Spirit of God isn't going to lead me from my flesh. He's going to lead me by His Spirit from my spirit. He's going to lead me from within, not from without. And the Spirit wars against the flesh, and it's a struggle sometimes. It's a war to follow Him. Sometimes. I know this isn't good news so far, but it gets better. Even though we struggle, we know what He says is best, right? We know it. We know that if we would just follow Him, we would wind up in the right place at the right time. But our flesh often doesn't want to do that. He wants, man, if we'll just do what He says do, go where He says go, we'll wind up at the right place. He knows what to do. And I've told you this before, He is called in the Old Testament Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who sees. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what we ought to do. We need to be listening to Him. When we get outside of His leading, what does that do? It puts us in a place of peril. If He says, don't go, and I go, I can quote Psalm 91 all day. But if He said, don't go, and I'm there, I'm in trouble. The moment I realize that I'm in trouble or that I'm outside of His will, I need to repent and say, all right, I messed up. I'm here. Tell me what to do now before the roof falls on me or before this or that happens to me. We need to recognize that we get out from under His protection if we don't follow Him. If we'll follow His leading, we'll always be in the right place. Somebody said to me, when Connor was in Africa, in Ethiopia, last year, they said, aren't you worried about his safety? My answer was, I'm more confident in Connor's safety in Ethiopia following the Lord than I am in his safety in Lubbock opposed to the will of God. The same is true for you and me. If we will follow Him, He's the leader. When He tugs, I need to get my heart in the place that when He tugs, I respond. Instead of, are you sure? Well, I don't know if I want to do that. We must hear and obey. Doesn't matter how silly it is or how strange we think it might be, we simply hear and we obey. I heard about there was a courtroom and the judge was at the bench and he's hearing the trial. And so he sends a note to the clerk. And so he says to the clerk, blind on right side, maybe falling, please call someone. Well, the clerk is in a panic. So she calls the paramedics and she has them coming. She whispered in his ear and she says, the paramedics are on the way. Everything's going to be fine. And he got a puzzled look in his face. He pointed at a sinking Venetian blind. And he said, it's falling. I'm thinking maybe you ought to call maintenance instead. Well, we've got to learn how to hear God. What is He saying? Not interpret it on our interpretation, but what did He say? And if I'm in the Spirit and I recognize His voice, then I'll be able to recognize what He wants. In order to be led by the Spirit, what do we have to do? We have to spend time in the Spirit, fellowshipping with the Spirit. And this is where Christians miss it. We want God to talk to us, but we don't recognize the voice of the Spirit. Right? Because we want the Holy Spirit to speak to us the way the guy on Fox News speaks to us. We want Him to lead us externally, but He doesn't lead that way. We've already talked about that in times past. He leads internally. He tells us by His Spirit, in our spirits, what we're supposed to do. Paul's final statement to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 13:14 was this: the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So be it. This is what needs to happen. You need to walk, live your lives in the grace or the favor of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the love of God the Father. And here's how you live your life: in communion with the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? That means in fellowship with Him, spending time with Him. We are to be able to spend time with Him so that when He speaks, we know what He's saying because we spend time with Him so we can hear what He has to say. We won't be familiar with Him unless we're spending time with Him. Let's read this verse, Romans 8:26. We've read a lot from Romans 8, so I'm just going to look at this. 8:26, and you know this verse. Likewise, the Spirit, now this is talking about the Holy Spirit, helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, it should say Himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, we know that this passage is speaking of praying in the Spirit. We know that's what it's talking about. It's allowing the Holy Spirit, because of our fellowship with Him, allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through us. In other words, He's giving the words. I'm praying the prayer that He's giving me. I'm praying His prayer through me, which is, by the way, the answer or the direction I need to go. It's His leading, Him showing me. Praying in tongues is the beginning of and continues to be the most vital way to interact with the Holy Spirit. This is a vital thing for us. If we want to connect with the Holy Spirit in the realm of the Spirit, we must learn to pray in tongues. Constantly, consistently praying in the Spirit. That's how we're going to connect with Him. I love it. It says, the Spirit helps our infirmities. The word helpeth means partnership, cooperation, teamwork, joint effort. In other words, when we allow Him to pray through us, He becomes our partner. Here's what we think: God, part the waters. And He's saying, stick out the stick. I have to stick out the stick. He'll part the waters, but the Holy Spirit isn't going to do it by Himself. He's going to require our partnership. I love this part. Oh God, I need more money. Go to work. No, I need more money. You don't understand, I need more money. Go to work. I don't have time. I need to pray for more money. He's going to partner with you. Well, they don't pay enough there. If you'll go to work, He'll make sure it works. See, that's where people miss it. We want Him to do everything and us to do nothing because of grace. Grace is favor. It opens doors. It paves the way. He will provide everything you need if you'll just do what He says. It's a partnership. This is practical, huh? That's what He does. God, I need a miracle in my relationships. Well, then forgive your neighbor over there. No, I don't care about them. I need a miracle in my relationships. Isn't that how we do it? We compartmentalize. I hate them, but I need a miracle over here. If I'll do this, that's my stick, He will then make this happen. He partners with us. See, because sometimes when we have the bitterness or the anger over here, that is flowing in our lives and creating the problem over there. He knows the answer. He knows what to do. He helps us with our infirmities. Infirmity doesn't mean sickness necessarily. Infirmity means weakness in mind, body, emotion, and circumstance. So that weakness. He helps us in what we can't do. Helps us what we can't do. I love this part where it says, for we know not what we should pray. The word what, the little Greek word here, means every little thing. We don't know about all these little things we ought to pray about. But the Holy Spirit, as our partner, is willing to partner with us in the smallest matters if we'll simply communicate with Him. It's amazing. If we'll pray in the Spirit, we'll pray about things that we don't think are important, but He's going to help us with them. You know, the little story of the little boy at the dike in Holland. The little hole doesn't seem like a big deal in the dike, but if it goes unchecked, it will eventually burst the dam or the dike. It says that the Spirit makes intercession for us. I love this word, intercession. It means, the picture of this word has to do with somebody who falls in a ditch or a hole, and another person comes along and sees them and gets in the hole with them to help them get out. That's kind of the picture of it. The word literally means to fall in on behalf of someone else. When it says the Spirit makes intercession, the word literally in the Greek conveys the idea of a rescue mission. The Holy Spirit, when we commune with Him, He's going to rescue us from whatever is out there. But it all begins with us allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through us and us having fellowship. And as we follow His tugging, He leads us to the places we're supposed to go. But we have to learn how to respond to the tugging. Right? I mean, he'll take a stand with us against the situation, the circumstance, the demons, whatever it is. The result of that, if you read Romans chapter 8, the result of that is that all things work together for good. They don't just work together for good to everybody every time, but as I team with Him, allowing Him to tug me, lead me, it works together for good. And then it continues with the result that no matter what comes my way, the Bible says this way, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. If I'm following Him, even if all that comes to me, I'll never be separated from His love, and in the end, I'll be more than a conqueror through Him. But I partner with Him. If I'm partners with Him, if peril comes, if famine comes, if all that happens to me, it won't stop me. Like that song we sang, even when I don't understand, still, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to do what You've called me to do. I'm going to do it. The result, this is the privilege that we have of being led by Him as children. I mean, that God doesn't want us to be led by Him so He can drag us around and throw us to the lions. We're led by Him so we can fulfill His plan. He gets all the glory. We get all the benefit. But it's Him that we follow. We follow Him. Let's read this passage that we've read every week. Oh, can you believe it's already this time? I've got to do something else. I've got to go a little further. Jesus said in John chapter 10, let's look at this. John chapter 10. Who will give me 5 more minutes? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35. Okay, we're good. Okay. All right. Okay. I realize that was a quick trick question. Okay. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, Jesus is speaking, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. In other words, the shepherd calls, we hear, we follow. Because we spend more time with him than anybody else, when they call, we're not following them. Okay, if all my time is with Fox News or CNN or whatever it may be, then I won't be able to recognize his voice. I must be with him. Fellowshipping, as we said, with the Holy Spirit. Then, when he calls, I'll hear his voice. He goes on to say in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. In other words, all that I just said, that's about me. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. Verse It's 27. In case you didn't get it, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Okay, we've been reading that every week. Then we recognize that He leads us. The Scripture says He calls, we hear, He leads. We read in Romans chapter 8, we won't turn there right now, but we have to become spiritually minded, spiritually focused. When we become spiritually focused, then we can hear what's being said in the Spirit. And He said, to be carnally minded or are focused on the world or the flesh where everything is dying is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And we talked about He leads us in life and peace. Last week we read a bunch of scriptures about being led in life. And I just want to get to one point in this, in what I want to say. Well, maybe two before we go, because I got 25 minutes already still to go. Many times, and I'm going to get very real here, many times the problem isn't that we don't know what to do and that we haven't heard Him. We've heard Him, we take a step of faith, but the problem is we get impatient and we give up on God because it doesn't seem to be happening as fast as we think it should. God, help me with my relationship. He says, well, go over there and forgive them. And I go over there and forgive them. That doesn't work out because they still don't like me. But I'm not responsible for them. I'm responsible for me. I go over and forgive them, and then this still doesn't work out very quickly. And so I go, well, that was a waste of my time. It's not always instant because God's doing a work in my life, in your life. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes here with God. But we get to this place where we get impatient. It doesn't work out. I mean, let's be real. It doesn't always work out as quick as we want it to. We hear Him. We know what to do. And then it doesn't work out very fast, so we change course. Because we're pressured from what? The world? What is that? Death? Death is now pressuring me. Time is pressuring me. Money is pressuring me. Other people are pressuring me. All those things are coming against me. And so because of the pressure, wait a minute, we just read that peril or sword or nakedness or famine or all those things aren't going to separate me from walking in the middle of His love. But we allow it to take us out of this place of faith and we get in this place of impatience and we decide we're going to change course. It didn't work following God, so now, if you can't fix it, God, I've got to do something now. Now you're looking at me like, I don't do that. You do, I do too. We that happens to us. Okay, it's, He wants us to know. I mean, we've got to do it. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence unto the full assurance of hope unto the end. Stay with it is what He's saying. To the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Following God is not a matter of putting Him on the clock. Okay, God, I'm going to follow You for 2 days, and if You don't do something, I'm going to go find somebody else. If that's your attitude, you might as well go find somebody else today. Because You just said, I don't believe You. We are to stay with what He instructed us till we get to the end. It says, don't be slothful. Slothful means lazy. That is to find an easier way than remaining spiritually minded. Because if we get lazy, we'll follow the broad path that leads to destruction. Because that's the easy way. That's the easiest way to get there. We must maintain faith and patience. I'm going to say something that may shock you. The amount of faith you have is equal to the amount of patience you have. If you run out of patience, you've just come to the end of your faith.
Kind of harsh.
It is harsh. The two run together. Faith and patience. If I get impatient, I've just run out of faith. Or I've just stepped outside of faith. You see, we must not allow ourselves to lose patience. Well, I just don't have the patience for that. What you just said is, I quit. I don't believe you anymore. I'm going to do this my way. I'm going to have it my way, do what I'm supposed to do. The only way to stay with peace, see, he leads us by life and peace. We looked at scriptures about peace last week. All, but we're led forth with peace. And then the mountains break forth and the hills and all that stuff. He thinks, when he thinks about me, he thinks thoughts of peace. He keeps me in perfect peace if I keep my mind on him, keep myself focused spiritually. He leads me by peace. The only way to stay with peace is to get spiritually minded, to get quiet with him alone. The biggest problem with us is that we sometimes have what I call the MTF syndrome. MTF. In other words, we're simply moving too fast. We're moving too fast. He leads by peace. We don't have to be in a hurry. The devil comes and he says, you got to choose A or B, and you know they're both wrong. But the pressure, choose one. If they're both wrong, they're not from God. See, we've got to learn how to stay with him. Stay with what we want, what we're supposed to do. He leads by peace. He leads by peace. I'm not in a hurry. Sometimes when I'm driving the car, and I'm in the car with Tammy, and one of the things that frustrates me more than anything else is if the speed limit is 45 and you're going 38, and you're in front of me and this guy's going 39. I hate that. And I'm just thinking, get moving here. And Tammy says, we're not in a hurry. And I'm thinking, well, they're for sure not in a hurry. I mean, I just wish I had a tank. Sometimes I wish I had a tank and I could just run over them and then turn around and shoot them and blow them off the road. I'm just kidding about that part. We're not in a hurry. I mean, isn't it amazing? We think we're in a hurry. Everything's like, we got to do it now. Read the paper today and see if there's a one-day only sale. In other words, you missed this one, and you missed it. What is that? Fear. You're going to miss out. Oh, doorbusters. Oh, man. Get here. If the first 30 minutes, oh, man, and you get this. If not, sorry. Sorry. I mean, isn't it amazing? Christmas shopping starts when? You know, I remember when Christmas shopping started after Thanksgiving. Now, oh, we're open Christmas, Thanksgiving Day at 5 o'clock. So our families, our employees can be with their families. I'm thinking, you don't care a lick about your families because you're opening on Thanksgiving Day. But we got to do it now, because if you don't do it then, you'll miss all the specials and you will not have a Merry Christmas.
Don't care about their employees either.
That's it. Well, that's fine. That's a whole different subject, but you're right. Or oh man, the new Star Wars movie is opening today. We have to go today. Why? Don't they show it for like a month? I got to see it. I have to go now. Well, we translate that into our prayer life. God, I need a miracle. Now! I got to get my miracle right now. I mean, Lord, I have to have it. Even though you've seen the problem coming for months, you knew it was coming. You just kind of ignored it, pretended it wasn't there, but you knew it was coming. And now it's here. It's like, God, I got to have a miracle now. Just think, if you'd have sought God way back then, and you were on the path that he'd already called you to, you might not have needed it now. But now you need it. But you still have to hear what he has to say. And we cannot get in a huge, huge hurry. Let me share with you one story, and then I have more that I was going to tell you. But let me just say this before I get to that story. We are not led by price. We are not led by time. We are not led by pressure that comes from without, because that's where death is. We're led by life and peace. Life and peace. If it's about price, you got to follow the Holy Spirit, because it may seem like this is the price you can't miss, but if it's the wrong one, it doesn't matter how cheap it is. If it's the wrong time, it doesn't matter how good it is. We're led by the Spirit. We must be led by peace. Peace. The devil comes and says, A or B, choose it. You got to do one or the other. I don't have to do either. And if you feel pushed, you need to stop, get alone with God, and say, what do you want me to do? Let me read you this, John chapter 8, verse 1. I'm going to try to get finished in the next 2 or 3 minutes. No, 5 or 10 minutes. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, verse 1. And early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them, and the scribes and Pharisees. Now, that's got to be at least 4 people, because scribes is plural and Pharisees is plural. But I'm guessing it's way more than that. Brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say to him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. What are they doing? Give him 2 choices. 2 choices. Neither is the right choice. Okay? Kill her or let her go. Kill her or say she's not responsible. It says they tempted him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote in the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote in the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus lifted up himself, he saw no one but the woman. He said to her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus because they know that he's compassionate. They know that he wants her to be forgiven. They know it. So they're trying to trap him. All right? So they come and they try to use the word against him, don't they? The Bible says we get to throw rocks at her. I've said this before, if they come at you with the Bible in one hand and a rock in the other, they're not your friends. And they're saying, the Bible says we get to kill her. Now, this story always amazes me. Where's the guy? Because the Bible says he gets to die too. The guy she was having an adulterous affair with. He's supposed to die with her. I'm just thinking, why didn't they bring him? Because they're setting Jesus up. They want Jesus to, because if the other guy was a Pharisee, they don't want him to get killed. You know, he's one of their guys. I'm not saying he was. I don't know if he was or not. All right, but here they come. They try to use the word against him. That's just like the devil. I mean, that's what he wants to do. I mean, we better know how to handle it. We better know more than just 2 or 3 verses when the devil comes like that. What do? We must be led by the Spirit. I mean, they're just saying, here's the 2 answers. The law of Moses, or be wishy-washy on this sin, or lose your followers. Choose Moses or your forgiveness. One or the other. You know, you got to let it all go. Come on, Jesus. So he tries to make you think the only choice is what he can give you. Let me just say this. When you get the 2 choices, if there's no peace, you've not heard from God yet. If there's no peace, you don't know yet what to do. you don't have any idea what to do. Remember, he'll call you by name, and we'll follow him. The scripture says, how does the Lord my shepherd lead me? Beside still waters, not the raging ones. Green pastures, not the ones that are all picked over. If there's no still water, if there's no green pasture, I don't know, I'm not being led yet. There's no, I'm not talking about fear. The devil will come with fear, and you got to do things in the face of fear. I'm talking about peace. I mean, sometimes you do stuff with great peace, but your knees are trembling along the way, right? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about peace. I'm talking about the inner knowing, the peace that passes understanding, the peace that I don't understand how it is, but I got peace here. This is my answer. I follow the peace because there's an answer that comes from him. I have to follow him. Look what Jesus did. Man, the noise is going on. They got the woman. They're throwing her down in front of him or something. And, I mean, she's probably not even dressed yet. I mean, they have her throwing her down there. They're accusing her. And they're accusing Jesus. And he knows that they're trying their best to get to him. What does he do? See, the temptation is to say, okay, well, let's do this. Because the pressure. What does he do, though? He just kneels down and he gets quiet. See, Jesus only said what he heard the Father say. He only did what he saw the Father do. He gets down on the ground. I don't know what he's drawing. I mean, there are all kinds of speculation, but nobody knows. He might be drawing Mickey Mouse. He might be drawing, maybe drawing the throne of God. But he doesn't do anything until he gets quiet. He has to wait. Because to speak too soon kills the girl and probably himself. Here's the deal. We want to move too fast. The answer is in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the answer. And Jesus just gets quiet. And then all of a sudden, can you just see it? The light comes on. The peace is there. He stands up and he says, all right. The one of you that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. What does he do next? Gets quiet again. I don't know how long it took for those guys to walk away. I'm guessing several minutes. I mean, Pharisees and scribes, at least four, but I'm guessing more like 20, 25 guys. He gets down, and you know this, if you ladies, you know how men are. We're not quick to say I was wrong. We're not quick to back off of anything. And they knew they could kill her or him. They're mad at him anyway. He says that and he just gets back down. You know what the devil was saying? This isn't working, Jesus. You better come up with another one because this is not working. And finally, the oldest one drops the rock and walks away. The next oldest one, I don't know if it was a minute, 10 minutes later. Drops the rock, walks away. From the oldest to the youngest. The older ones were a little more wise probably than the younger ones. And they knew this was not a winnable argument. They all walked away because Jesus got quiet. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. Walk and be not faint. God wants us to wait. Now, waiting is not being inactive. Jesus wasn't just inactive down there. Waiting, we found out a few weeks ago, that word wait means to entwine together with. Waiting is entwining my heart with His, entwining my ears with His voice, making sure I hear what he has to say, and learning to follow the peace. That passage about waiting is in Isaiah chapter 40, and right before that it talks about that the young ones, I mean, they have all the strength and all the buffness. They're not going to make it. It's not about my strength or my buffness. It's about waiting on him, hearing what he has to say. And when I hear what he has to say, there'll be peace. There'll be life. And now I take action. God wants us to hear from him. Whatever we're facing. But I cannot be in too big of a hurry. God is not in heaven going, okay, Jesus, angels, we got 39 seconds. Let's give him some answers here. He already knows the answer. He knows what to do. But I got to get quiet and listen to the Spirit. Amen? Let's pray. Father, today I thank you for your willingness to speak to us. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for life and peace. I thank you that you're good to us. You show us the way. We know what to do because we have an unction from the Holy One, and we know all things. We know what to do. We hear your voice. We're not led like the horse and the mule. We're led by the Spirit. And you will answer us when we call. I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.